And then Mr. Simons again. Mr. Simons was a man who probably did more for the science of meteorology than did any other man of his time, therefore he probably did more to hold back the science of meteorology than did any other man of his time. In Nature, 41 to 135, Mr. Simons says that Professor Shwedoff's ideas are very droll. I think that even more amusing is our own acceptance that, not very far above this Earth's surface, is a region that will be the subject of a whole new science supergeography with which we shall immortalize ourselves in the resentments of the schoolboys of the future. Pebbles and fragments of meteors and things from Mars and Jupiter and Azuria, wedges, delayed messages, cannon balls, bricks, nails, coal and coke and charcoal and offensive old cargoes, things that coat in ice in some regions and things that get into areas so warm that they putrefy, or that there are all the climates of geography in supergeography. I shall have to accept that, floating in the sky of this earth, there often are fields of ice as extensive as those on the Arctic Ocean, volumes of water in which are many fishes and frogs, tracts of land covered with caterpillars. Aviators of the future. They fly up and up. Then they get out and walk. The fishing's good, the bait's right there. They find messages from other worlds, and within 3 weeks there's a big trade worked up in forged messages. Sometime I shall write a guide book to the Super Sargasso Sea, for aviators, but just at present there wouldn't be much call for it. We now have more of our expression upon hail as a concomitant, or more data of things that have fallen from the sky, with hail. In general, the expression is: these things may have been raised from some other part of the Earth's surface, in whirlwinds, or may not have fallen, and may have been upon the ground, in the first place, but were the hailstones found with them, raised from some other part of the Earth's surface, or were the hailstones upon the ground, in the first place? As I said before, this expression is meaningless as to a few instances. It is reasonable to think of some coincidence between the fall of hail and the fall of other things, but, inasmuch as there have been a good many instances, we begin to suspect that this is not so much a book we're writing as a sanitarium for overworked coincidences. If not conceivably could very large hailstones and lumps of ice form in this Earth's atmosphere, and so then had to come from external regions, then other things in or accompanying very large hailstones and lumps of ice came from external regions, which worries us a little. We may be instantly translated to the positive absolute. Cosmos, 13 to 120, quotes a Virginia newspaper, that fishes said to have been catfishes, a foot long, some of them, had fallen, in 1853, at Norfolk, Virginia, with hail. Vegetable debris, not only nuclear, but frozen upon the surfaces of large hailstones, at Toulouse, France, July 28, 1874. La Science Pour 2, 1874-270. Description of a storm, at Pontiac, Canada, July 11, 1864, in which it is said that it was not hailstones that fell, but pieces of ice, from half an inch to over 2 inches in diameter, Canadian Naturalist, 2i308. But the most extraordinary thing is that a respectable farmer, of undoubted veracity, says he picked up a piece of hail, or ice, in the center of which was a small green frog. Storm at Dubuque, Iowa, June 16, 1882, in which fell hailstones and pieces of ice, Monthly Weather Review, June, 1882. The foreman of the Novelty Iron Works, of this city, states that in 2 large hailstones melted by him were found small living frogs. But the pieces of ice that fell upon this occasion had a peculiarity that indicates, though by as bizarre an indication as any we've had yet, that they had been for a long time motionless or floating somewhere. We'll take that up soon. Living age, 52 to 186. That, June 30, 1841, fishes, one of which was 10 inches long, fell at Boston. That, 8 days later, fishes and ice fell at Derby. In Tim's yearbook, 1842-275, it is said that, at Derby, the fishes had fallen in enormous numbers, from half an inch to 2 inches long, and some considerably larger. In the Athenseum, 1841-542, copied from the Sheffield Patriot, it is said that one of the fishes weighed 3 ounces. In several accounts, it is said that, with the fishes, fell many small frogs and pieces of half-melted ice. We are told that the frogs and the fishes had been raised from some other part of the earth's surface, in a whirlwind, no whirlwind specified, nothing said as to what part of the earth's surface comes ice. In the month of July interests us that the ice is described as half-melted. In the London Times, July 15, 1841, it is said that the fishes were sticklebacks, that they had fallen with ice and small frogs, many of which had survived the fall. We note that, at Dunfermline, 3 months later, October 7, 1841, fell many fishes, several inches in length, in a thunderstorm. London Times, October 12, 1841. Hailstones, we don't care so much about. The matter of stratification seems significant, but we think more of the fall of lumps of ice from the sky, as possible data of the Super Sargasso Sea. Lumps of ice, a foot in circumference, Derbyshire, England, May 12, 1811, Annual Register, 1811-54, cuboidal mass, 6 inches in diameter, that fell at Birmingham, 26 days later, Thomson, Intro to Meteorology, p. 179, Size of Pumpkins, Bangalore, India, May 22, 1851, Report British Association, 1855-35, Masses of ice of a pound and a half each, New Hampshire, August 13, 1851, Lummis, Meteorology, p. 129, Masses of ice, size of a man's head, in the Delphos tornado, Farrell, Popular Treatise, p. 428. Large as a man's hand, killing thousands of sheep, Texas, May 3, 1877, Monthly Weather Review, May, 1877, pieces of ice so large that they could not be grasped in one hand, in a tornado, in Colorado, June 24, 1877 Monthly Weather Review, June, 1877, lumps of ice 4.5 inches long, Richmond, England, August 2, 1879, Simons Met. Mag. 14-100, mass of ice, 21 inches in circumference that fell with hail, Iowa, June, 1881, Monthly Weather Review, June, 1881, pieces of ice 8 inches long and 1.5 inches thick, Davenport, Iowa, August 30, 1882, Monthly Weather Review, August, 1882, lump of ice size of a brick, weighed 2 pounds, Chicago, July 12, 1883, Monthly Weather Review, July, 1883, lumps of ice that weighed 1.5 pounds each, India, May, 1888, Nature, 37-42, lump of ice weighing 4 pounds, Texas, December 6, 1893, SCAM, 68-58, lumps of ice 1 pound in weight, November 14, 1901, in a tornado, Victoria, Meteorology of Australia, p. 34. Of course it is our acceptance that these masses not only accompanied tornadoes, but were brought down to this earth by tornadoes. Flammarion, The Atmosphere, p. 34. Block of ice, weighing 4.5 pounds that fell at Caserta, Spain, June 15, 1829, block of ice, weighing 11 pounds, at Sète, France, October, 1844, mass of ice 3 feet long, 3 feet wide, and more than 2 feet thick, that fell, in a storm, in Hungary, May 8, 1802. Scientific American, 47-119. That, according to the Salina Journal, a mass of ice weighing about 80 pounds had fallen from the sky, near Salina, Kansas, August, 1882. We are told that Mr. W. J. Hagler, the North Santa Fe merchant became possessor of it, and packed it in sawdust in his store. London Times, April 7, 1860. That, upon the 16th of March, 1860, in a snowstorm, in Upper Wasdale, blocks of ice, so large that at a distance they looked like a flock of sheep, had fallen. Report. Brit. Association, 1851-32. That a mass of ice about a cubic yard in size had fallen at Candish, India, 1828. Against these data, though, so far as I know, so many of them have never been assembled together before, there is a silence upon the part of scientific men that is unusual. Our Super Sargasso Sea may not be an unavoidable conclusion, but arrival upon this earth of ice from external regions does seem to be except that there must be it ever so faint, a merger. It is in the notion that these masses of ice are only congealed hailstones. We have data against this notion, as applied to all our instances, but the explanation has been offered, and, it seems to me, may apply in some instances. In the Bull. S.O.C. Astro, de France, 20-245, it is said of blocks of ice the size of decanters that had fallen at Tunis that they were only masses of congealed hailstones. London Times, August 4, 1857. That a block of ice, described as pure ice, weighing 25 pounds, had been found in the meadow of Mr. Warner, of Cricklewood. There had been a storm the day before. As in some of our other instances, no one had seen this object fall from the sky. It was found after the storm, that's all that can be said about it. Letter from Capt. Blakiston, communicated by Gen. Sabina, to the Royal Society, London Roy. SOCPROC, 10-468. That, January 14, 1860, in a thunderstorm, pieces of ice had fallen upon Capt. Blakiston's vessel that it was not hail. It was not hail, but irregular-shaped pieces of solid ice of different dimensions, up to the size of half a brick. According to the Advertiser Scotsman, quoted by the Edinburgh New Philosophical Magazine, 47-371, an irregular-shaped mass of ice fell at Ord, Scotland, August, 1849, after an extraordinary peal of thunder. It is said that this was homogeneous ice, except in a small part, which looked like congealed hailstones. The mass was about 20 feet in circumference. The story, as told in the London Times, August 14, 1849, is that, upon the evening of the 13th of August, 1849, after a loud peal of thunder, a mass of ice said to have been 20 feet in circumference, had fallen upon the estate of Mr. Moffat, of Balvillage, Ross Shire. It is said that this object fell alone, or without hailstones.